Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Todd Tomasella with Safeguard Your Soul Radio. Thank you for tuning in. Got a great program here concerning the fountainhead of understanding the book of Revelation. You know, lots of people approach the book of Revelation with fear and trepidation. Some don't approach it at all, as it is said to be hard to understand, as Peter said some of Paul's writings were. But we've got Brother Travis Bryan the Third here today. Hello, brother. How are you?
Hello, Todd. How are you today?
Doing great, man. I'm excited about the fountainhead of understanding the book of Revelation. And I'd like to read the first passage that you have set forth for this message, brother, if you'd like. Revelation chapter 5, verse 5 and 6 says, "And one of the elders," yeah, amen, "and one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." Amen. Brother Travis?
Yes, brother, this lamb, it stood a lamb as it had been slain. This is the key terminology. They were looking for a lion. They were looking for a ferocious lion who would come and tear the enemy apart. But behold, when they looked, it was not a lamb, but not a lion, but a lamb. And
we're
the
still
word lamb,
for a lion.
They were looking for a lion, and they were the elders. They were the, you know, Old Testament believers and so forth, and looking for a lion. And it was not a lion. It's a lamb. And not only that, Todd, the word lamb, this particular word, arnion, A-R-N-I-O-N, is only used twice. In every other place, the word lamb has a different word for it. But here it is arnion, which is not only a lamb, Todd, but it connotes a diminutive, weak, and meek little animal, gentle, with a sense of endearment, a precious little lamb. So this is the one sitting on the throne, Todd, not with God, not a lion, but a precious little lamb, a gentle lamb. The meek shall inherit the earth, and it begins with Jesus. And the word lamb, this word lamb, it appears 27, I think, times, 27 or 8, in the book of Revelation, Todd. And so that is a fountainhead of understanding that this is not a lamb, a violent lion going through the book of Revelation. This is a precious lamb. So this controls how we interpret all these passages where this lamb, word lamb appears. For instance, the word, the wrath of the lamb in Revelation 6. Now, that's not the wrath of a lion there. That is the wrath of a lamb. So that signals right there that we better pay attention, Todd.
Absolutely, brother. That's a fantastic premise, brother. Are we still looking for a lion, brother, most of us that read the book of Revelation?
We are still looking for a lion, Todd, and many will be deceived in the end by looking for that lion, just as the Jews, the Pharisees, the Sadducees and the chief priests were all looking for a lion to come tear apart Rome and get them out of Israel. This weak, meek human being riding, who was God, riding on the back of a donkey, Todd, coming in a position of lowness, meekness. He was the lamb, the conqueror, We conquer through the Lamb, Todd, not through the lion.
Amen. You know, this seems to affect our thinking in the world today, not only leading up to the return of Christ and how things are going to play out, but, you know, there's a lot of criminals, brother. I'd love to see them locked up. I know there's millions of others that agree with me. But there is the patience of the saints.
Yeah.
Spoken of in Revelation 2. I don't know if that's out
exactly.
of context or not, but it's not always as it seems, apparently, huh?
Well, we live in a tension, as you and I have talked about before, a tension between two creations, the passing away of the old and the coming in of the new creation, Todd. And the punishment of criminals by courts is certainly appropriate and still exists. And the law, as it says in 1 Timothy 1, is for whoremongers, murderers, and thieves. That the law has to remain just as the old creation law remains for some purposes. But we as Christians in our hearts are we don't operate by that kind of thinking. We operate in a new way with a new song and a new reality, that is that we conquer by being lambs, not by being lions. And Todd, this is the secret of history right here, that Jesus Christ and we too now, as his followers, do not inflict hurts on others to achieve justice. We take the hurts of others into ourselves. And we, too, are called to this being lambs in the world today.
Amen. Now, to kind of bridge between what we've been talking about on this program, brother, in the last few weeks and how this is all going to play out. Now, so in our minds, a lot of people say, wait a minute, Jesus is coming back on the horse, you know, Revelation 19, you know, the sword proceeds from his mouth and et cetera. So how does somebody take a look? How does somebody assimilate that kind of thing? Is it kind of like people are bringing the judgment on themselves, right?
Well, I think that this program will help with that. We conquer by being lambs, by being killed all day long. We conquer, we overcome, and it's not by personal violence or control or force that we overcome. It's by dying. By dying with Christ, conquer the enemy, just as he did, Todd. Just as he
did. Hebrews 2:14. By death, he conquered death, right? Okay, so you said this, brother. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, Todd.
Oh, yeah, I was going to read something you said on this matter in this message.
Yeah.
Again, Saints, this message is titled The Fountainhead of Understanding the Book of Revelation and how Jesus stood as a lamb as it had been slain, that is Christ the Savior, slain from the foundation of the world. Amen. Revelation 5, verse 5 and 6. Brother Travis, you said the Old Testament elders were looking for a lion to open the book and release the seal, slaughtering their enemies. They looked and were shocked to see not a lion, but a lamb. Not a ferocious killer lion, but rather a little sacrificial lamb looking as if he had just been slain or slaughtered. The Greek word for lamb is arnion. This word, that's okay. I saw that, brother. Even I caught that one. This word means not only lamb, but a little lamb. Or I looked up the Greek. It's lambkin, right? Like a little lamb.
Lambkin.
Obviously.
Exactly.
Obviously, a reference to Christ crucified. This little lamb that stood as it had been slain is the very fountainhead for understanding the entire book of Revelation and all its descriptions of what appears to be a brutal conquering evil. But God always conquers evil through a sacrificial death and not through a ferocious killer lion. Hebrews 2:14, amen. They saw a lamb, not a lion. The word lamb appears 27 times in this book of 22 chapters, the word lion never appears again. Evil is always overcome through the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 12:11. Amazing, brother. And what comes to mind, brother, let me throw this out there. How is this depicted in the story of Daniel where he's in the lion's den and their mouths are shut? Is he a type right there?
No, absolutely. And there was in that Daniel 6, he conquers through faith. He is thrown into the lion's den, and he comes out promoted and prospered and victorious over his enemies, not by his own violence, but by this principle of the cross, that the ones who threw him in there are torn apart by the lions. He emerges victorious, Todd. That is a perfect prefigurement of what we're talking about here in Revelation, Todd.
Absolutely amazing, brother. And then on the second point you're making here, brother, you talked about one author put it this way. He speaks of, instead of a ferocious lion who who kills others, the Messiah is a sacrificial lamb who takes into himself the hurts of others. This is the great secret of history. We turn the other cheek and absorb the blows of the enemies in order to extinguish the forces of evil. Matthew 5:38-45. This is the principle we live by, the cross. Can I read that one more time, brother, that sentence? This is the great secret of history. We turn the other cheek and absorb the blows of the enemies in order to extinguish the forces of evil. That is absolutely a profound observance of what the scripture is clearly saying here, brother, and how Jesus spoke of that at the end of Matthew 5, Brother Travis.
And Todd, that is our call, that we are, when we apply the cross, take up the cross to our situations in life, Todd, when we suffer with him, we reign with him. I believe that's 2 Timothy 1. When we suffer with him, we are glorified with him. When we are killed all day long, Todd, we conquer. Romans 8:36-37. This is so upside down from the worldly way of thinking, Todd, that the way to victory is by walking out and being a lamb in the midst of wolves, taking up the cross and drawing the fire of the enemy in order to extinguish that fire.
Absolutely amazing. I'm going to read the two verses you just quoted, brother. This really brings it together. And saints, if this is a new principle to you, it's definitely new to me over the last few years of knowing Brother Travis. This is not a doctrine that's made up or extrapolated by men. This is clearly observable, beginning with our Savior himself, who conquered death by dying, Hebrews 2:14. Now, notice, Brother Travis, you quoted Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And then 2 Timothy 2:12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. And may the Lord help us to die and let him conquer. Let conquering be accomplished through dying in our lives, Father, in Jesus' name. And Brother Travis, you also talked about how we conquer evil the same way the little lamb does, by being killed all the day long, Romans 8:36-37. We walk out into the midst of evil, the valley of the shadow of death, right? We walk out into the midst of evil and by faith show ourselves to it, presenting our bodies as living sacrifices. We overcome evil with good. We kill evil with sacrificial kindness and unconditional love. Romans 12:1-2 and verse 21. We never resort to carnal weapons. The cross is our divine weapon, the sword of the Lord, as it's put in the book of Judges. We do not put on carnal armor, but rather the whole armor of God. Amen, Brother Travis.
See, and Todd, this is our weaponry of conquering. This cross, the mentality of the cross lifestyle. This is the way that you conquer evil, and our robes are washed and become white in the blood of the Lamb. And Todd, the Bible actually says that this is available to the believer now to sit with Christ on his throne through this process of the cross. We are seated with him in heavenly places. We are on his throne as Christians, even today in some sense, with the full load of that conquering status and throneship to come later, thought after physical death. But every day we take that throne with him through sacrificial love, Todd, just as he did.
Absolutely amazing, brother. So we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ. Would you like to expound upon that more, Brother Travis? Like that is our position in Christ, right?
Our position in Christ, and that word position is not just a anecdotal type statement, as has been used in the midst of this coronavirus that we're under. It is an actual reality that when you first get saved, Todd, in your spirit, you are seated with him in heavenly places. That's a past tense there that's already happened to every believer. The unbeliever is not now Christ in heavenly places.
Right. Good, good. Yeah, we're in Christ. And so there's first the positional and then the practical, right? And so that comes with acknowledging this reality of dying to conquer, right?
That's the everyday being killed that you see there in Romans 8:36, that in our soul, in our mind, will, and emotions, we take up the cross in faith every day, and more we solidify and build up our seating with him in heavenly places. And then finally,
absolutely,
physical death, glorification, physical death, we are fully and finally all together seated with him in heavenly places. So this is a process. We have been seated, we're being seated, and we will be seated, Todd.
Absolutely. Amen, brother. Would you like me to read the last part of Matthew 5 in conjunction with this message, brother?
No, that'd be great, Todd.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, this really starts to come alive, right? With this Lamb revelation, not only Christ, but we're to be, lambs in the midst of wolves, right? You have heard
exactly
that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, Jesus says, that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain or two. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Brother Travis?
And that perfect, in the context, is about love. It's not perfect morality. It's a mature love that he's describing there, and that is how we're seen as children of God. Todd, that passage right there is when Jesus takes these two creations, He gives the first tenet of the old creation. Then he says, but I say, and then he gives the new creation rule. So you see right there in his sermon the tension between the two creations. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth is old creation way of thinking. But I say, and then he brings in this new way through the cross, Todd, of thinking, and that goes down through the whole Sermon on the Mount. It's not the strong and powerful, the lions of the earth that inherit the earth. It is the meek, the gentle little lamb that inherits the earth, and we are to follow his footsteps, Todd.
Absolutely amazing. And is there a parallel of how he says here in verse 43, you have heard that it has been said, the old world and the old creation and the new tied together here, it seems like. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Is that kind of like the elders who in Revelation 5 we just read about?
Yeah, it is. And that's the worldly way of thinking. That you love those who love you. But his way of thinking is unconditional love, which loves those who hate you, that loves your enemies. So it's an upside-down way of thinking in this new creation that is in our heart, Tom. The Holy Spirit brings the new creation into our hearts and spreads that out in us, in our mind, will, and emotions daily as we begin to surrender this cross and die to who we used to be and the way we used to think and the old identities and the old things we used to value. And then we follow the, but I say, love your enemies of the new creation, Todd.
Amazing, brother. As we go through this message, I'm seeing just how much deeper a death God wants to transpire in my own life. Amen. Now, brother, you in this last few minutes, you spoke about, notice the lamb has seven horns and seven eyes. The number seven is symbolic of completeness and perfection. Example, God completed the first creation in 7 days. It was completed in perfection, Isaiah 45:18. The seven horns means perfect and complete power. Think of it, perfect power is only found in the standing but slaughtered little lamb. Perfect power is only found in the standing. So Jesus, it says the lamb stood right there in Revelation 5,
yeah.
Right?
That's a reference to resurrection. The word stand is resurrection type, a word of resurrection.
Oh,
there,
yeah,
Tom.
Yeah. Amazing. Okay, so in Revelation 5:6, Jesus, the resurrected lamb, he stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Interesting. Okay, and then it says, this is the power found only in the crucified Savior and his followers who are crucified with him. They, with him, occupy the throne even today. Ephesians 2:6, we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ. The only throne of grace, power, and judgment is the cross of Christ. The cross was his throne at Calvary. Only there do Jesus and we sit, wear the thorny crown, don the purple robe, and have the world as our footstool. The one who is dead to self and committed to a life of self-sacrifice sits with Christ in glory and have total power. It is a power that rises out of weakness and brings peace, a peace the world does not understand. In the cross that Jesus and we triumphed in complete power over all the dark forces of the universe. The seven eyes are symbolic of complete and perfect insight or wisdom, a wisdom only found in the cross, and really all of 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. And then finally, Brother Travis, you talked about the lamb that stood as in resurrection, but only in also being slain. You can never leave the cross behind. You only stand in power so long as your power flows directly out of the rock, Christ crucified. Brother Travis?
You see, that lamb was standing. That there's resurrection. There's power there. But it was the slaughtered lamb as it had been slain, Todd. And that word, the verb tense there in the Greek is the perfect tense, which is a past event with continuing effects. And I believe you could read that to say, had been and continues to be slaughtered or slain. So our life is death and resurrection. We see both. It's two sides of a coin there, Todd. They cannot be separated from each other. The way to resurrection is through the cross. The way to power is through the resurrection. But you only get the power of resurrection. You only get that seven-horn perfect power through the cross of Christ, Todd. It does not come by lion-like thinking and lion-like action. It comes through the power of the Lamb, Todd, the little precious diminutive Lamb.
You know, I've got to voice a sentiment here. I'm sure others like myself are just blown away or blessed by the prominence of the cross in the message of the Word of God all the way through, and how Brother Travis has been so gifted and blessed by God to see this in the Word of God. I thank you, Lord. What a blessing. Now, Brother Travis, on the point you just made, is how does that tie in with 2 Corinthians 4:10-12 about always bearing in the body? That continual crucifixion, right?
Absolutely. Always bearing about it, and then so that the life might be shown in your mortal body. The life is the resurrection, Todd. But we don't show life of God without always being killed.
Yes. Beautiful, brother. We got about 2.5 minutes left. Let's talk about that, brother. The practicality of the cross, the need for the continual crucified life, which is brings forth or yields to the reverberating or the reciprocal resurrection life of Christ, raising us up to be a blessing to go about and be, I don't want to say be pleasing to Him so much as have His resurrection life propelling our lives. And it says this, folks, always bearing. Yes, sir. And I want you to comment on this and close us with a prayer here in a minute, brother. Always bearing in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body, the exchanged life. Amen. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you, Brother Travis.
Todd, we all of us are coming to this world seeking our worldly throne. We want to control. We want to be on top. We want to have gates and passwords and walls and protection. And God is saying, no, lay all that down. Walk out into the world and be a lamb. And through that kind of mindset, Todd, the same mind that is in Christ, we will conquer. We will reign and sit on the throne with Christ. As little lambs, Todd, the meek shall inherit the earth.
Amen, brother. Again, the last piece of this message, and this will be posted on safeguardyoursoul.com, saints, called the Fountainhead of Understanding the Book of Revelation. Brother Travis, you said that you only stand in power as long as your power flows directly out of the rock, Christ crucified. Brother Travis, would you like to close us in a prayer?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we cannot understand this in our own flesh. You must give us the wisdom, God. You must impart to us the enlightenment, the light to see this, oh God, the light to see the power of the cross in our daily walk with you. So make this clear, Lord. open our minds, open our eyes to see it. Take the veil off our eyes, O God, so we can see that we don't conquer by inflicting hurt. We take the hurts of others into ourselves, O God. Thank you. Thrilled by this revelation. I'm thrilled by my brother who is allowing us together to get this out. Make it real in the hearts of the listener, God. We thank you for Jesus, that little lamb.
Yes, Jesus.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, Brother Travis. God bless you, saints. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, brother.